Okay, I am Kyle Binkwitz. I am interviewing Sharon Wilson for the Denton Fracking Ban Project. The date is January 16th, 2020, 1:57 p.m. We are in Dr. Moy's office at the UNT Oral History Program, 345, I think is what it is. At least the time frame is going to be at least an hour. Hopefully an hour interview. If not, we'll try to see what we can get. And the place of this location is Denton, Texas. We are in Denton, Texas. So just as an introduction, we call our thing Blowout, community's effort to ban fracking. The project examines the issue of fracking and efforts to ban it within Denton city limits from the perspective of politically active Dentonites. So we're trying to get everyone in as much as possible, not just the leadership, but everyone else. And I am including Sharon Wilson because she is a certified gas imaging thermographer and a member of Earthworks organizer. Now she's a senior organizer. Earthworks, as far as I know, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting communities and the environment from the adverse impacts of mineral and energy development while promoting sustainable solutions. She offers a unique perspective on local activism, having been affected, as well as her son, by fracking, and spoke often about removing it from Denton city limits. Sharon will now speak about her bio a little bit, just telling us a little bit about herself and maybe Earthworks. You care to explain a little bit about Earthworks in more detail?
Okay. I work for Earthworks. It's an environmental organization. I learned about when I was living in the middle of fracking. I worked for industry for 12 years in Fort Worth, but I didn't really know about the environmental impacts. I just worked in an office, but I did know that the industry had some ethics that I objected to, and I did not want to spend my time every day in that environment. I felt like they had a disturbing sense of entitlement without any caring about how what their decisions affected people. So I moved, I quit in 1995, and I bought 42 acres in Wise County. It was adjacent to the LBJ National Grasslands, beautiful property. I could walk out my gate and be standing on National Grasslands property. I did not know at the time that George Mitchell, the father of fracking, the new modern kind of fracking, was learning how to produce oil and gas from shale in an economic manner, and he was doing that virtually in my backyard all around. And as fracking moved closer and closer to me, my air turned brown and my water turned black. And that was a very traumatic experience for myself and my son. At the time, there was very little known about fracking. That was early 2000s, very little known. There was little information. And there was really no help for someone who faced that. When I was little, I grew up watching people on TV being rescued. The Red Cross would come, it would flood, the Red Cross would come and bring food and water. The helicopter would send down a bucket and people would get in the bucket and be hoisted up into the helicopter, and someone always came on TV. Someone came and rescued you. Mm-hmm. When fracking happens, when you lose your water, no one comes. No one comes when it's fracking. And so that's when I became interested in helping other people who were facing these kind of challenges. I started a blog and started writing about things I was learning about fracking and oil and gas industry and what was happening. I took pictures and photos, and I started working part-time for Earthworks as an organizer, and that's when Kathy McMullen found me. She had just recently moved to Denton from Wise County, where she experienced many of the same things I experienced. And she moved close to McKenna Park. And she learned that Range Resources was going to put an oil and gas site across the street from McKenna Park, and she asked me if I could help them and what they could do. I was working at the University of North Texas at the time, commuting from Wise County. And so Kathy and I started working together, and the first thing that she did was collect money. She went door to door and collected enough money to get environmental testing in her neighborhood. So she got testing, a baseline test, and then she got follow-up testing when they were fracking. So we had hard data showing the kind of impacts and what happened when they fracked in your neighborhood. But the city wouldn't listen to us, and they were lured by the money. Many, many things happened during that adventure. Eventually, I went to work for Earthworks. In 2010, I went to work full time for Earthworks, and I moved to Denton. And I was no longer working at the university. And pretty soon, fracking kept expanding closer and closer and all throughout Denton. And Kathy and I wanted to try to figure out how we could stop it. And we wanted to look at the permits. So we went down to the fire station because, for some unbelievable reason, the permits for oil and gas in Denton were kept at the fire station. And we spent hours and hours and hours digging through those files all day long. And what we found is that going way back, the leases were granted by plat. So instead of just permitting a lease, a one well pad, they were permitted by plat. And so the industry felt that they had the right to drill unlimited wells in the city of Denton in perpetuity. And so Kathy and I figured out, when we took all the plats and laid them out and we scanned them, and we figured out that it was an enormous amount of Denton was eligible to be fracked, unlimited wells in perpetuity forever. So we started trying to help people understand that and make that known. I think it was something like 30% of the area of the city of Denton. And as that happened, as we were learning about that, Eagle Ridge moved into Denton, and they started to frack these two wells very close to the Vintage community, one on either side. And this was a case where this they were there was an old well, an existing well, and they wanted to go in and on this site, and they said they had the right to do that, and they did not have to respect it, much of the ordinance, because it was grandfathered in. And they had this right to drill there because the permit was issued and they owned the lease for that plat. So we'd been working with the city of Denton for a long time trying to get them to adopt a stronger ordinance, and that really didn't get us much of anywhere. One of the city councilmen asked us to the Denton DAG group to come up with some ordinance suggestions. But I think it seemed that it was just busy work to keep us out of the way. And there wasn't really any intention of adopting any of our ordinances. In the meantime, they had another group that was working on ordinance that was predominantly industry or very industry friendly. And some of the city was compromised. Some of the city employees were compromised and very industry friendly. So of course the ordinances that came out were not anything that would protect health and safety. So when Eagle Ridge started drilling those wells and said they don't have to even follow the ordinance because they're grandfathered in, that was when the members of DAG finally decided that they wanted to try to pass a ban. I'd been encouraging that because I could see that we weren't getting anywhere with the city, and the city was not going to do anything to protect the public. And so that's when Kathy McMullen did a lot of research to find out how to get it on the ballot, how to get an initiative to get a ban on the ballot. And we had to collect a lot of signatures, and the signatures had to be verified voters. And so it was really important. So it was really important to make sure that the signatures on the petition were verified as voters. And a lot of people will be happy to sign your petition,
right. But
they won't be registered voters. So some of us were registering voters and some of us were getting the petition signed. It was a lot of work, but we had a lot of fun. We showed up everywhere. At the Mardi Gras, we showed up. At the dog park, we showed up. If bark in the park or boo in the park or whatever it was, we showed up and we signed people up. We were at the farmer's market all the time signing people. I got a notary so that I could notarize the petitions, each page of the petition. And we knew we had to get far more signatures than they needed, because we knew some of them would be thrown out. And so when we kicked the petition off, we had a party at Dan's Silverleaf, and people couldn't even get in. It was a huge success. There were so many people that people were lined up to get in. They couldn't fit us all in. And we did eventually get more signatures than we needed. We took them in a big box and turned them into the city, and they went through these signatures and culled some of them, but we still had more than we needed, so we could get the initiative on the ballot. And do you want me to keep going, or do you want to ask me questions?
Can you keep going a little bit and get up to a little bit of present day about your bio?
About my bio present day?
Yeah, like what are you doing now a little bit?
Oh, what I'm doing currently?
Yeah. You mentioned you were, I did have a couple questions actually. You mentioned plat, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little ignorant. Could you explain what that means? Is that like an acreage or?
Yeah, I probably can't explain it really well, but the city is divided up into plats. Okay. So it's probably maybe 40 acre plats or more.
Mm-hmm.
There's all different sizes, but normally they permit wells by a pad site.
Right.
So it's a very small amount of acreage.
Mm-hmm.
Here they permitted it by plats. So some of them might be 40 acres square, 60 acres, You know, they were all different. We had somewhere it exists all of the plats and we scanned them all and everything. Those are somewhere. I don't know who has them. I may have some of them, but yeah.
And then you mentioned that the permits were at the fire station. Did you ever figure out why they were there and not like in the county records or anything?
Because the fire station permitted the drilling back then. I don't know any other city that did it like this.
Yeah, that's weird.
I've never heard of any other city. And that's why Denton got into the problem that it had. Because it actually could not rein it in because they had permitted the wells this way.
I wonder why they did that.
They just didn't know. It was a long time ago. Huh. Nobody knew.
And then you mentioned earlier that you had some problems with the ethics of the oil and gas industry because you said you worked there for like 14 years or...
I worked there for 12 years.
Yeah, 12 and years.
I did not... Our clients were oil and gas operators.
Right.
And I would just listen to their conversations, having conversations with them, the way they thought. If they thought of an idea, they felt like they were entitled to profit off of that, no matter who got hurt from it. So we helped them market their production just when they would get it. They knew how to get it out of the ground, but they didn't know where to sell it in the market to get the most money. So we could trade the barrel on the NYMEX, and it's a little bit complicated. But as we would make them more money for their product, they're required by law to share that additional revenue with the mineral owners. And some of them did not. They just... So they would give them the price that they received at the wellhead, but that's not the real price that they received because the barrel would be traded and traded and traded downstream to where they might get $2 more per barrel at the end market. So they're paying the mineral owner on $10 a barrel when they really got $12 a barrel. So that's an example because they felt like they were smart enough to, they made up many different companies, subsidiaries, so it made it very hard to trace it. And they were doing this on state lands, cheating state lands, federal, American Indians, and that's why... I feel that was a crime, and I didn't want to be involved in it.
Do you ever like face any like financial lawsuits or anything because of this? Anybody ever like dig in and anything and find out, hey, you're cheating us, we're gonna try and do something? Or were they just like so in bed with people in power that they were able to just get away with it?
It's hard to trace it down to figure out. So if you're a mineral owner. Unless you're even the state lands, they're real chummy with the oil and gas industry.
Right.
I don't know. I tried to alert the American Indians that they were getting cheated on their royalties, and they didn't really seem that interested. So I tried to tell a couple of people what was happening, and only one attorney really understood it enough, but because I didn't bring materials with me from the office, I couldn't prove it. I had knowledge of a crime that was committed, but I didn't have knowledge that it was an ongoing crime.
So you got caught in like technicality kind of stuff.
But I mean, that's just one example. It was a very... I would just say that it was a disturbing sense of entitlement, and from what I've witnessed being on the other side, that carries through. It's pervasive.
It's like a culture thing going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Kathy McMullen and how you had a couple of ventures with her. Can you give, like, I know before the interview you were kind of telling me a little bit about Kathy. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about Kathy? You know, I think you said she was a nurse.
She was a home healthcare nurse. Mm-hmm. And so she traveled around the county helping people who were, you know, had just gotten out of the hospital and mm-hmm. really needed some extra care. And so she saw a lot of what was going on out in the county drilling-wise and everything. She's an incredible person. She gave a lot back to the community. First of all, she took care of a lot of elderly people who were needed help and couldn't get help. Mm-hmm. She also rescued dogs. So mm-hmm. besides helping people who were broken, she rescued animals who were broken. So if there's a dog that needed to have its leg amputated mm-hmm. and it would have been euthanized, right. she would adopt it, pay for the dog to have its leg amputated, and then help rehabilitate it. And she had a lot of dogs that she had rescued. She loves helping animals. Just an incredible person. Very, very smart. Mm-hmm. You know, she was able to figure out the legal aspects of how we needed to do this ballot initiative, and a lot of the people never really understood it, even, you know, what we had to go through and how important it was to keep all of those records and keep everything straight. Mm-hmm. And because we knew that at any time, you know, we knew what was at stake, and we knew the giant we were going up against. So I would say that Kathy was the most important person in the Denton fracking band, bar none. She was absolutely the leader.
Mm-hmm. Is she still doing that job, or is she doing something else?
She lives in Rockport, Texas now, and mm-hmm. I think she's doing some nursing, but she also does a lot of dog rescue services.
Is she still doing, like, activism and stuff, still fighting the fracking, or is she
I think that this was such a bitter pill mm-hmm. that she just moved on from it.
Mm-hmm. Would she be willing, you think, to give an interview down the line?
Yeah, I think she would, but it might be hard. She travels up here sometimes, mm-hmm. and I can contact her about that.
Yeah, we can always, someone other than me or maybe me could travel down and talk to her. We don't always have to go down there. They don't always have to come up here. We can go down there. It just depends on what fits, works for everyone else. But yeah, give me like that information or whatever.
Okay, because there's no way that you can know what happened with the Denton fracking ban without talking to Kathy.
I think someone else in the class has her, but I'm not entirely sure. But just to make sure that we cover her, and she's such an integral person,
right?
Send me an email or whatever about, you know, okay. her location and stuff, and I could pass that along to anyone. Because I know a couple people are still looking for interviews. So if there's no interview for Kathy, that would be a grab right there.
Yeah.
And then you had mentioned, too, that you and Kathy had been actively doing this. I think you said even, like, before the Denton movement and stuff, trying to get this attention with all the data and stuff, and that it was an adventure, but they wouldn't listen to you. Did you ever figure out why, or is it just greed?
At the time, they had some council members who only wanted to look at the money. And they weren't, they were listening to the industry would go up there all the time and meet with them. Mm-hmm. The only time people could talk to them is for your little 3-minute speech. Mm-hmm. You know, so Kathy and I did get a citizen presentation one time mm-hmm. in front of them, but they really didn't listen. And the mayor, some of them were profiting from oil and gas revenue. Mm. So I think the mayor at the time was profiting. And the current mayor, Chris Watts, does have some mineral rights. I have mineral rights too. They're very small.
Oh, yeah.
It's not enough that I don't feel like Chris Watts was compromised by his little bit of mineral rights, you know. But previously, there, you know, it was another situation in our democracy where industry corporations have a bigger voice than people because they are able to give campaign money, and we traced some of that back.
Yeah, I think Tara Lynn Hunter even mentioned in her interview that they would, like, bring these guy people in, feed them, you know, kind of chummy them up.
They seduced them.
Yeah, they seduced them, yeah.
Yeah, and right, and then, you know, say things like, you know, Sharon Wilson is a lunatic and she's just a radical. They would like to call me a radical, putting a heavy industrial mining process less than 200 feet from a child's backyard, that's radical. And they didn't have to, because the whole allure of fracking in the beginning was we can drill these long laterals and move it back away from people.
Yeah.
But that was never their intention. Their intention is to drill every hole everywhere they can. And people in this area believe that that threat is gone. They just started drilling a new well right in, right just outside of downtown Fort Worth, right next to Top Golf and a neighborhood. And so the threat is not gone.
I think, too, that in other ones, they had, like, schools and stuff were being impacted, too. The kids were suffering, and they, I forget, someone's interview, they mentioned that, maybe it was Tara Lynn Hunter, you know, she was like, you know, that, or someone, that, I remember reading it, and they're like, they tried bringing it to the attention of the business people, you know, like, hey, you know, the kids are negatively affected, they walk right out of school, side of school, and boom, there's fracking, and I think if I recall, they're like, it's not our problem. They got to deal with it.
Well,
you know?
the school, one of the biggest mineral owners in the state of Texas is our schools. And so, of course, they want the money so that they can then build big football stadiums and big auditoriums and things like that. And then there's a school out here, MacGyver, I think, where they actually have a well right next to the athletic field, and baseballs end up inside the, in there by the wellhead, because they're playing baseball and they hit foul balls, and you can go there and see all the baseballs inside. It's bizarre.
Yeah. And then what are you up to now, you know, after? Because you move, I think you, in your bio, you said you moved out of Denton. Dallas?
Yeah, I decided not to invest in Denton because when I, in a home here, because when I, my farm, you know, it took me a long time to ever sell it, and I lost money over, I had an offer before they, just before they started moving really, really close. And then later I lost about $80,000 because of that.
Oh my gosh.
And so I didn't want to do that again. And so I moved where they don't have fracking.
And you're working for Earthworks?
I still work for Earthworks. And I travel a lot now because I use an optical gas imaging camera that makes visible the invisible emissions from oil and gas facilities. And so I can use that camera and help show people this is not really clean energy. I use the images to make complaints to the state and try to get the state of Texas to do something, to take action. Really the biggest, I think the biggest way right now that I can make an impact is to try to get these images in front of the public in a bigger way. So I've been, this summer I was on MSNBC, in the Wall Street Journal. I took the New York Times out for a big expose they did recently. I was just out with Swiss TV doing a documentary to target Swiss banks for funding fracking. I was in another documentary called Blowout that's streaming on Amazon. So I'm trying to get this in front of people because I think if people saw what's coming out of these facilities, mm-hmm. then there would never have been a fracking boom. Mm-hmm. They would have said, oh, hell no. Mm-hmm. But once it was already there, I would take these images. I have videos that I took around in Denton, and I would take the images and stand there at the city council for my 3 minutes and show them the images. I took this. You can see this pollution blowing mm-hmm. right off this site onto a home in Denton, and they did nothing. So
just try and move them with images and stuff, maybe hopefully, you know, get them to think, hey, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe move them to logic and reason. Okay, so let's kind
of... I think that the money, the promise of the money that really never is as big as what the promise is, but the mm-hmm. promise of the money overrides all logic, reason, and mm-hmm. the voice of the people.
Right. So I think you kind of hit on some of my arranged questions, but I'll kind of go through them, and then if we've already answered them, we'll just move on. If not, you know, maybe we can elucidate on them. How and when did you first learn about fracking? Because you kind of started talking a little bit about your experiences beforehand, and in your bio, it seemed that you were really, like, initiated into this with the fracking impacts.
Right, it was initiation by fire.
Yeah, initiation by fire.
Yeah, it just started happening around me, and I was saying, what is happening? Mm-hmm. And way back then, in early 2000s, I would Google hydraulic fracturing, mm-hmm. and that you couldn't call it fracking. Nobody would, you know, you had to
get the full name.
You had to Google hydraulic fracturing.
Cool, sounds cool.
And mm-hmm. and then the only information I could get was from industry or earthworks. Mm-hmm. Back then, they were the only organization that was working on oil and gas and fracking issues. So I started contacting them, and that's how I learned about what was happening around me. Mm-hmm. And
and then I think it said you attended Fracking Impacts. What's Fracking Impacts?
How we were impacted by fracking.
Okay, yeah. Was it like some sort of seminar, like you'd all get together and talk about it?
No, I didn't. It's just I started documenting fracking impacts, but I did go early on to an industry conference mm-hmm. where they talked about deploying ex-military PSYOPs operatives in our neighborhoods mm-hmm. to, you know, get to know people and infiltrate neighborhoods, and they talked about the people as insurgents. So anybody, yes, I've got
like
this.
We're in Iraq or something.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
I've got this all on tape. They said they recommended that this was industry talking to industry.
Right.
Get the U.S. military. Marine Corps counterintelligence manual, because counterinsurgency, what we are dealing with here is an insurgency. They're talking about people who did not want a mining facility next to their homes.
And they were like escalating it to like military level kind of conflict.
Right.
Type
and
thing.
And so I went to a 2-day conference that was all like that, and I recorded it all.
Oh, jeez.
It was really horrifying, and I was sick a lot of the time because I was so scared.
They kind of like have tanks rolled up and
I thought,
this kind of stuff.
This is stuff you say in a bunker.
Yeah,
somewhere
this is like
you don't call
military,
Americans.
It sounds like military occupation or something, you know.
Exactly.
I don't think you can do that, but okay.
They do that. So
okay.
I went to that. I've been sued twice by the industry. Once by a $1 billion company, Range Resources, mm-hmm. the one that drilled across the street from McKenna Park. Mm-hmm. They sued me, trying to shut me up. So, yeah, it's been a really...
Speaking of the suits, did you win them?
Well, Range Resources, we went to hearings because I didn't want to turn over all the deposition.
Yeah.
They wanted this huge amount of records. And we got the records reduced, and they were trying to roll me into a charge of conspiracy to defame them, which is pretty bad, mm-hmm. you know. And there was absolutely no evidence. So all they did then was make me sit. I had to go to a court hearing, and I had to sit through a 6-hour deposition.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it was terrifying, but I had an absolutely fabulous attorney, and so he said the first thing. Usually, attorneys say you can't talk to anybody about this at all. He said, what they want to do is they want to shut you up, so you're not going to shut up. You blog about them all you want to, ridicule them as much as you want, mm-hmm. and but just don't say anything about the judge. Make sure everything you say is true. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. I was really sassy, and I ridiculed them. And so what that did is, instead of me cowering in like they expected, I was really upfront and out there in the public, and it elevated me to like super star status in the fracking world. It totally backfired on them.
Right after that, yeah. You were the top name on everyone's list.
So they didn't win, but it was a big hassle, and it was a huge time suck for me to go through all of that. Mm-hmm. So neither lawsuit won.
Well, good for you. Yeah. You don't want to dish out all that money.
Yeah.
What knowledge base did you come to this issue with? Because you mentioned you worked for the industry for 12 years, and then you mentioned you had started looking up fracking, but at the time it was only hydraulic fracturing, and you could only look it up through either the business industry or earthworks. So
I had no knowledge base at all. It was all brand new.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about it. And boy, I know a lot about it now.
Yeah, speaking of which, what is your education, training, etc. regarding fracking or oil and gas in general?
Nothing. I'm self-taught. I am certified optical gas imaging thermographer. This is the camera I use it's an instrument mm-hmm. that was made legal by the EPA for detecting oil and gas leaks. Mm-hmm. It also records in real time the images, and it's used by industry. It's mm-hmm. technology that was developed by industry, and they get certified in the same class. I mean, everyone in my class was industry, mm-hmm. but they try to claim that what I'm doing is not really scientific, even though it's the same.
Even though you basically did the exact same process right. that they did.
Right.
Jeez. Four is interesting. I like this question. What was your connection with Denton? Because you mentioned you moved here, had a farm, and then all of this started happening.
Yeah, I worked at UNT.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way that Kathy found me was through my blog. And mm-hmm. so I connected with Kathy and started working in her neighborhood. And that's where the first opposition grew, was in Kathy's neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. What has your relationship been with local politics? Because you kind of mentioned you did a little bit before, during, and then you doing anything after? You still
Denton politics?
Not just Denton, but with like any politics in general. Have you continued doing this activism?
Oh yeah, you know, I think that what we did in Denton with the fracking ban, you know, and earthworks. I was able to get a lot of the funding that we used from, ironically, someone who is a mineral owner.
Hmm.
And the money actually came from mineral receipts from fracking. And so I don't remember where I was going with that.
Were you like politically active before the whole any of this or?
Yeah, we worked with, I wasn't before so much, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I went down and spoke at the legislative right. sessions, and they ignored me, which they do everybody right now, but pretty soon I don't think they will.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Denton ignored me. Mm-hmm. They ignored Kathy. But what we did, where I was going with the money we raised, we used some of that to give a grant to Texas Campaign for the Environment. And they came in and trained our volunteers. We had a lot of volunteers. Tara Lynn was in charge of the volunteers. So Earthworks was able to pay her a little bit to, so for that, because that was a big job. So they came in and trained all the volunteers to canvas. And that's a really big reason why we won, because we had a goal to knock on every door in Denton. And we canvassed several times during that. And so when the city didn't go along with us on the fracking ban, they vowed to change the city council, and they have. And so when any when a for a long time in Denton, when a situation would come up, they would hit the streets and canvass. So that training, that activism that Denton learned during the fracking ban stayed with them.
And then what about afterward? You still engaged in doing that with your optical imaging and all that? I think
Yeah,
you
and I
mentioned that.
still am involved in the Texas legislature. I have taken elected officials out with me so that they can see through the camera. I took the Natural Resources Democrats out in the Permian Basin, and they were horrified. And the next day they had a hearing, and they spoke about the camera off and on and what they saw during the hearing, and thanked me publicly for, helping them see that. I've done that with quite a few elected officials. Hope to do that more with in Texas. I've gone down and testified on bills in at the Texas legislature, but like I said, they totally ignore us. They bullied us with the HB 40, so they think that they are always going to be able to bully us and squash us. But Texas politics is changing, and they're the for the first time ever, Texoga, the Texas Oil and Gas Association, came out this week and admitted that oil and gas has a role in causing climate change.
It's a big transformation right
That is
there.
a huge thing, because I think they see the writing on the wall, the political situation in Texas, and there are young people who care about climate change. And I'm not saying older people care about it too, but there wasn't enough of us, and industry has spent a lot of time misinforming people and paying for skewed science and things like that. So people are confused. Young people, it's their world, and so now they're starting to come on board. And I don't like it when older people say the young people will save us. No, we're partly responsible for this problem, and we need to save the young people, but I'm glad to see so many young people coming on board. It's changing the politics in Texas. So I think this next election will be fun.
Yeah, I think I was seeing I my minor was in political science, so I've always been keeping, a little bit of my political insight going on. But I think I saw, there's debate even within the history of Texas, will Texas become a swing state, and will it be blue again? The last time was, LBJ in the 60s, and then since then it's been a red state, but then with this influx of immigration and young people, there's real tight now where Texas is not as guaranteed as it was for the past
We
40
lack
years.
9 seats in the House. 9 seats. There are 24 seats in play right now. All we have to do is take 9 of those, and we control the House.
Wow. Well, keep at
Yeah.
it. And then, what was your experience on election day and your thoughts the next day when the ballot was challenged and then the whole HB 40?
Well, we knew they were going to challenge the. We knew they were going to sue us. We expected that. And we had Earth Justice attorneys and some local attorneys who were ready to assist us with that. But and so the problem was not the lawsuits, and on the election day it was raining and it was very cold, and we all stood out there and, you know, stood outside and did the poll greeters, and and people would come. It was amazing, because wherever they needed me, you know, I would go to whatever poll. We had shifts. And at this one place, I was downtown by the city hall. This guy drove up in this giant red pickup truck. It was a dually truck, so four wheels on the back.
Right. Yeah.
And he had stickers that said, you know, Abbott for governor, and all this stuff was on his truck, and I committed to talk to every person I saw, no matter what. And I thought, no, I can't talk to him. But no, this is
not going there.
But I did. And when I said, hey, you know, are you aware of the fracking ban? He went, yes, ma'am, I am. And I said, well, are you aware that they had it deceptively worded on the ballot?
Yeah.
So I said, well, you know, you need to vote this way if you want, you know, how you need, yes is no and no is yes. And he went, yes, ma'am, I know. And he said, and I am going to vote for the fracking ban, because fracking does not belong in our backyards. It has no business in the city. And I went, whoa.
Shock. Surprise.
I mean, everybody was wanted to ban it out of the city. I mean, nobody wants to live with fracking. So it was a really an incredible day, and it was very fun, and we were all at, where were we?
Dan Silverleaf,
yeah, and it was a lot of fun. It was an incredible moment. Kathy and I both just started bawling and hugging, and
long time coming.
Yeah, and then of course we knew the next day that they would do that, and that was not a problem, because we did feel like there was some constitutional avenues for us to fight a lawsuit. But when the legislature passed HB 40 and they made it actually illegal to ban it, then we had no way forward. And a lot of people were angry, because we eventually agreed with the city that they had to repeal the ban. But you know, we exhausted every avenue we could. And yeah.
So then what was your role in both forms? You know, there was, as I mentioned, there was the DAG group that was at first, you know, you mentioned earlier you had worked on ordinances and all that stuff. And then there was the actual grassroots movement, the Frack Free Denton, where you'd go out and people would canvass and you'd stand at the polls. What role did you play in both of them? Like, did you help out with ordinances in the former and then canvass the neighborhoods?
Yeah, I tried to help out with ordinances in the former with the Denton, it was the Denton Drilling Advisory Group.
Yeah.
And then it became, then after all of that got us nowhere, it became the Denton Drilling Awareness Group.
Yeah.
It became more of an educational group.
Yeah.
And so Kathy asked me if I wanted to be on the board, but I thought it was more appropriate for me just to be an advisor.
Yeah.
And so I was an advisor, and I went to the meetings, and I would advise them and let them know what my opinion was. And then during the fracking ban, my colleague, Alan Septoff, who is the comms director at Earthworks, he and I helped a lot with the strategy, with getting all the media attention. You know, we would gather lots of media and direct them toward the people on the ground. A lot of organizations, nonprofits, will try to steal the media spotlight, but we tried to give it all to the people on the ground. Tara Lynn, Kathy, Ed Sof, you know, Adam Briggle. So, and then my role in the Frack Free Denton is I was just like everybody else. I mean, we did provide the funding for the ads and all of those things through an anonymous donor. But I was just a volunteer. I canvassed when I could. You know, I didn't live in Denton, so I did everything everybody else did.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked on similar campaigns following the 2014 campaign?
I've never worked on anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had some smaller campaigns trying to get a reasonable setback from schools and things like mm-hmm. that, but that I've never worked on anything like the Denton.
Mm-hmm. Is there any reason for that, or just
opportunity? I mean, they kind of kicked our teeth in Texas,
right?
And so they say they're for local control, but they've stripped away a lot of local control
right.
over the years in Texas, and we have to get in a political situation where.
Right.
I mean, we have worked on campaigns, but nothing like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I have a couple more questions, and then we'll conclude the interview, so you may go on your way.
Okay, yeah.
You have enough time?
Yeah.
Okay. One is local activism. You know, that's a big thing. Big activists getting out there. What is your definition of local activism, and how would you describe doing that? Say someone wants to possibly become an activist, you know, what would your advice be to them? So definition, description.
I've never thought of a definition on activism, but I think activism can be anything. It can be just talking to your neighbors. Like right now, climate change is such an important mm-hmm. issue, and people don't talk to each other about it. They're afraid to talk about it because it's kind of taboo. And so I think that the first place that people should start is talking to your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like you're right about something and you've researched it, if your neighbor doesn't agree, don't let that stop you. Keep going. Keep
right.
going and advocate, you know, be an advocate for what you want. And it's not always comfortable. Sometimes it's really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But and people will say, oh, that's too political. Everything in our lives is political.
Yeah.
There's politics between husbands and wives and your children and everything.
Can't escape it.
You cannot escape it. Just embrace it and try to learn how to navigate it and weigh in where you need to. So I think activism is a really, really big word, and it can be anything from trying to get a dog park
mm-hmm.
or your sidewalk fixed. And there are some incredible activists in Denton.
Mm-hmm.
They really show up at the city, or they used to. They would show up at the city and let them hear their voices.
Mm-hmm.
And now we actually have some city council members who embrace that and encourage it.
Hmm, interesting. What about you going about activism? Do you have any advice for any future activists? You know, how do you start becoming an activist? You just do it, or is there any education involved, training?
Anybody can be an activist. You just jump in. I just started learning about fracking and writing about it on a blog. What I would learn. It was like my file cabinet, but it was out there,
mm-hmm.
and somehow people found me, and they had the same experiences, and that's how I got started. So just start learning about whatever it is you're interested in, and start talking about it. Writing letters to the local paper is a tremendous thing to do. It actually changes people's minds, and that's one thing we did with the fracking ban.
Mm-hmm.
We had letter writers. We had a committee of letter writers, and they would just crank out letters. And somebody could say, I want to write a letter about this. This is my topic. And they would help them word it
mm-hmm.
and give it to them to submit. So we had letters all the time in the paper. It's really effective, just little things like that.
Showing up to, meetings and stuff.
Council meetings.
Yeah.
Council meetings. Go to the school board meetings. You will probably be horrified at what happens there. Go to the school board meetings and just sit there. You may be the only person sitting there at a school board meeting, but go.
I can relate. I've been to a few of them in my
yeah.
time.
I mean, I have been when I was the only person sitting there.
Wow.
Time after time after time. Go to all the meetings. Get involved in your city, because if you don't, things are going to pass you by.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Is the Texas Sharon blog still active?
It is. I don't have a lot of time to keep it current,
right,
but I try to do something, you know, several times a year anyway.
Right.
I do most of my stuff on Twitter now.
Twitter. What about earthworks? It sounds like it's a very long or old organization. Do you like know a little bit about its history and stuff, how it came along? I'm just kind of interested, you know, because earthworks kind of played a role, as you mentioned.
Right.
You and the vice president were helping them out and stuff. What is
earthworks? Yeah, earthworks had a big role in the fracking ban as far as in helping to shape the messaging mm-hmm. and the strategy. Earthworks got started as the Mineral Policy Center, and I don't remember the date, but it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly focused on mining, and they did policy. And then at some point, they became the they had the Oil and Gas Accountability Project became mm-hmm. part of the Mineral Policy Center, and then it became Earthworks. And it has a mining side and an energy side. And we don't use the oil and gas accountability title as much as we just call it Earthworks. And mm-hmm. it encompasses everything. And it's grown. Now we have about 20 people on our mm-hmm. energy team. And they're dispersed all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. And
has Earthworks been involved in any other like similar movements as this? Has it done anything before the Frack Free Denton movement and anything afterwards?
Oh yeah, they're very active in Pennsylvania, but as far as banning fracking anywhere, I think this is it. They have the mining side had a big campaign with the No Dirty Gold campaign to try to make Tiffany's and some of the jewelry stores take a more responsible role in mining gold, and that was a really successful campaign. And they, you know, there are smaller campaigns that they work on all the time. Mm-hmm. And we have a policy team, and we have attorneys and a communications department, so.
Mm-hmm. Where was that no gold thing with Tiffany's? Was that in Texas?
That was an international campaign. Hmm. No Dirty Gold.
No Dirty Gold.
It wasn't just Tiffany's. I believe it was Zales, and they had a lot of jewelry stores that eventually signed on to the No Dirty Gold campaign, or you ended up with a bunch of activists outside your jewelry store with banners and
kind of just flooding your
right
area.
So, yeah.
They doing anything in Texas recently you know about, or?
Are we doing anything in Texas?
Yeah, actively,
you know, all the time, all the time. You know, there are pipeline protests, but Texas has made it really hard now because if you protest, you can get charged with a felony.
Yeah.
And so Texas has made it very hard to do much, but it'll change soon.
Mm-hmm. And then on a final sort of, you know, philosophical outtake, what was the impact of this experience with Applied Democracy on you, your community, and this issue? So, like, what would, let's say, you know, Pennsylvania or Michigan or what other state, you know, someone wants to do what Denton had done in 2014, what would you tell them to do maybe differently or whatever? Dr. Fry told me it was mostly, you know, get ahead of it. Get to know it first. Don't, you know, learn about it later.
Yeah, it started here.
Yeah.
So other areas can benefit from our experience and what we learned going through fracking. So yeah, Dr. Fry is absolutely right. But the way that industry does, they're very insidious. They go into an area and you don't know they're there until they've already leased everything, and then it's hard. Then you don't have, it's too late. Mm-hmm. So that's happened in a lot of areas. But I think that people should participate in democracy even if you lose, because the fracking ban changed the conversation about fracking mm-hmm. because the people who live with it the longest, right here in Denton, the very first well that was ever hydraulically fractured, the new kind of fracking, was in Denton County.
Yeah.
So we lived with it longer than anybody else anywhere, and we said, no, we can't live with it. That reverberated all around the globe, And when the police chief went out and shook Adam Brittle's hand and thanked him for everything that he had done for the city, that picture ended up, it ended up in papers in Taiwan. I mean, mm-hmm. it was everywhere. That had a huge impact. We were all united that we didn't want fracking in our city. So I think participating in democracy is important, and you just keep going. And if you lose, you just get up and keep doing it again, because eventually you're going to win.
Mm-hmm. And on an actual final note, I was just curious myself. You ever think, you know, Texas citizens will get their voice back? As you mentioned, HB 40, you know, said that other communities can't do what Denton did. Do you think there's a possibility in the future for that to be challenged and maybe removed?
Yeah, there's a pathway. We just have to find a city that is willing to stand up. And I think there's a political pathway too. I mean, the face of Texas is changing, and we will get that law. We will write. Mm-hmm. We will make new law.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much for this interview, Sharon Wilson. And if you want to follow up or anything, don't hesitate to call or anything. And remember, if you want to change this and you want to close it or whatever, fully within your rights or whatever. But this was a fascinating interview, and I think there's plenty of room for follow-up, you know, going different routes and stuff. You know, Earthworks might get involved in other campaigns and stuff, which being tied into this project might be relevant and could add a lot to the oral history history collection here. So thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much. It's been interesting.
Yep.